what jumps up in front of me out of the scripture this morning. A lot of stuff on my heart, a lot of things to be speaking about. You know, I keep coming back to Mark Trump, the fact that this thing is just data. Book is just for data. See, like this, I'm reading down through here, it says right here, and for this cause. That would be a good Google search. I wonder how many times in the Bible it says, for this cause. Interesting, isn't it? It's a connecting phrase. That usually when you hear for this cause, it means whatever he just said applies to what he's saying next. For this cause, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. I'm thinking of that. There's several different places. For this cause. Cause and effect. Really, really important in America. Really, really important in the world. And I'm really not sure that we've even figured it out yet. I look at all the crazy stuff that's going on, all the evil that's raining down on us. And sometimes it's easy for us to lose sight of cause and effect. Sometimes we try to treat symptoms. Sometimes we try to correct problems that are the effect and not the cause. You understand what I'm talking about? And so one of the things that's going to be important for us as things continue to unravel or unfold here before us is keep our eye on the ball. What I prayed this one before it came on the air. We keep our eye on the ball because, you know, the world's all a puff because of what went on with the Iranian deal. Now, now they're raining down bombs in Jerusalem and all. Now the Jews are on and on and on. I got some stuff to show you this morning. I've been trying to get away from this whole Jewish debate. Been trying to for the last 3 days, and the Lord keeps bringing me back to it. And I want to show you something today. Hey, I got to do this real quickly before I do. Oh, I don't want to forget that. Are you guys ready? You sitting down? Listen, serious. I want the prayer warriors to get busy out there for us, okay? My daughter Abby's pregnant again. So Maggie's pregnant. Abby's pregnant. And if you remember, Abby had trouble the last time. Remember, we had that prayer. So all of you out there, just pray for us. Just pray this little Dobby makes it out. Would you do that for us? We think she's going to. That little baby, we got one's going to come in. Michelle probably beat me up. We got one coming in December, and I think this one's coming in January, I think. So I don't want December to be here yet, and I sure don't want January to be here yet. But that's what we're looking at. So praise the name of the Lord. Hey, Jared, go to my Facebook page. People say you shouldn't do this. I don't care. I don't care. Put up there, Jared, real quickly, the picture of my grandbabies. I think it's right on my Facebook page. Scroll on down there a second. That's me going live here. You tell me I'm not a blessed man. Hang on, let her pop up there a second. Wow, you'd think it would pop right up there on it, wouldn't you? Nah, there I wrote the new one of News with Views today. There it is. Look at that, huh? Am I a blessed man or not? And think about this. We're adding two of them. Adding two. Each person you see there is getting a brother or a sister. Each person you see there. The two in the middle have one mommy and daddy. The two on the bookends, they have another mommy and daddy, and both are expanding their families. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Fruit of the womb is his reward. And Lord, you give, we'll take as many of those little rascals that you can give us. So God bless you. Thanks. Pray for us out there. Will you pray for Abby that everything's good? Hey, I spoke about this yesterday. I want to get rid of a lot of these things, okay? This is a thing I couldn't find yesterday. I told you this 2-CD set and spoke to you yesterday. I spoke to you yesterday about you put them in and then you just let them play. Talked about that. Remember, I talked about this one has eight of them on it. This other one on the back of it has eight of them. Listen to this one. Any donation you send to us, any donation, I'll send this out to you. And it says, government tyranny, the pulpit is the problem. These are all essays that I've written. And then I read, it all begins with life. My glasses aren't working. They're very good. Maybe I need to try some others here. Yeah, that helps. The homosexual agenda, separation of church and state, viral multiculturalism, get in the game. They're all powerful. So you got 16 commentaries that I've written and read on these things. And I can't, if Gary Pierce is on here, he would testify the fact that he put this in plays this over and over and over. Any donation? Say, Coach, I need some money because I want to help people get here in June. I've already heard from some people who can't make it. I want to raise some money so I can help him get here in June. And then we have a 3D CD set. I told you, you serve the God you see. Faith without works is dead. Are you converted? So, man, shoot us a donation, and we'll get these right out in the mail to you. You gotta, listen, if you do that, say, hey, coach, send me one of those, and we'll stick it in the mail. Cool? All good. 27 people in the queue, so we got room for you if you want to jump in here. Jared, you're on my Facebook page. I want you to stay there a second, if you can. Pull that back up there. I got on one of those in one of those moods yesterday. Or was it 2 days ago? I think it was yesterday. Remember I told you I use Facebook to make people think? And I was telling Michelle before we fell asleep last night. I said, these memes that I posted this week, this day, I bet there's been 1,000 responses. I can't believe it. And I love doing this because I like to throw it out on the table and then let them all chew over it. And then they all get mad and they call me names, but I don't respond to it. I just post it and I let them argue with each other. And I want you to go down through some of these because I want you to find out how much, okay, I'm going to say it. People think I'm in danger of hellfire because I'm not 100% in support of Israel. You got to read some of these things. Now listen, you don't do them now, but you go back later and you check out some of the things that I've written, and they try all to make sense. So let's just have a laugh here, Jared. Real quickly, let's go down through them. I wish I could do them in chronological order as I posted them because they would make sense. But so remember, I'm talking about identity here, right? And the Jews, what's a Jew, what's not a Jew, and you know we've all been all through that. Look at this one. I put this up there. Do we call all Americans Buckeyes? Or only those from Ohio? Are Buckeyes Americans? Are all Americans Buckeyes? So I'm trying to get people to think Jew, Israelite, not the same thing. Benjamin, and then hey Jared, go back up here just a little bit. I'm sorry. And then you want to have some fun? Just get on there and listen to these people argue with each other. Go on up, Jared. Next one. What's the next one say? It's good to be back there. Said, don't get mad at me. Study to show yourself approved. Truth sounds like hate because they were getting on me because how dare you, Dave? Coach, I'm so disappointed. See, they're so disappointed in me because I question Israel. Next one, Jared. Theology shapes your view of world events. See, what do you mean by that, Coach? I mean, if there wasn't any Israel, would we be in the Middle East even? Next one. There were 12 tribes in Israel. Judah, the Jews, was one of them. Are the other 11 tribes Jews? That might have been the first one I posted. And oh my God, they killed each other on that one. They just killed each other on that one. I'm telling you, the idolatry of Israel and the Jews is beyond. It's just beyond. Next one. It should be obvious to everyone now that President Obama was playing for the other team. I'd throw that one in there. Scroll on. They didn't argue too much with that one. Here comes one to get mad at. Oh, they didn't like this one. Paul in Romans 9 said this. This is a quote. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. And I said, huh? Oh, they ate each other live on that one. Go on down there, Jared. It's fun to watch. You just see how the theology that we have is amazing. Then I said this one. This one got them mad. I said, I wonder if Christians in Syria are praying for Israel. What do you think? That's a pretty good one. Huh? Do you think that Christians who, and you know what you get in? You know what you, here's what you get when you just guys take some time and read down through these things. And then they'll make excuses and they'll say, well, all kinds of innocent people get hurt in war. Or I'm just justifying, should we be with our Christian brothers in Syria or unsaved Jews? Next one, Jared. Are you aware that Israel bombs kill Christians in Syria? Should Christians in America support that? Oh, they went after me on that one. That might have been the one I started with. There you go. Oh, look at that. They're all straightening me out of my theology. Dave, your assumption. Yeah, go on down there, see. Why? Because we have a number. We Okay, then this is last one. Mike DeWine, he just got our candidate for governor. Mike DeWine is the deep state. He was the Gang of Six. DeWine, McCain, and Graham, Lindsey Graham, they're butt buddies. Republican governor pick. Shh, are you kidding me? We don't have any sense, do we? We don't have any political sense at all. So guys, again, I want to encourage you. I believe this is the best thing you can do. Do not get into an argument on Facebook. Just don't do it. Post something and let everybody else argue over it. Because I would read some of it. I would read somebody write a comment. I said, oh, I got to answer that. I said, oh, I'd stop. And I wouldn't do it. And I'd read on down and hear somebody else did. Somebody else said what I was going to say. So it's a great form and it's a great way to try to open the eyes of people. Somebody jump in here. I feel somebody wanting to say something.
That came across my Facebook screen yesterday, and I was reading some of the responses, and I almost wanted to engage into it, and it's just like, no, I'm just going to read this stuff, and it's like, damn, then I'm shaking my head going, Dave, oh my gosh, I'm learning from the master.
But it is amazing, though, isn't it? Isn't it amazing how they will excuse anything Israel does because they're convinced that Israel are God's chosen people? Now, folks, listen, I don't want this show to be about this every week, but I think theology, the point I'm trying to make is theology is so important. Doctrine does, in fact, matter. It really does matter. And I would say that most of these people who are 100% in bed, behind, and supportive of Israel really couldn't even tell you why, other than somebody told them that. Somebody gave them the theology. Anybody else? Come on in here. Move to another direction. Okay. Is that a no, or is that just way? Hang on there a second.
Hey, Coach, you know, I look at it that, you know, what we see is political Israel, right?
Right.
And what's referred in the Bible, God just doesn't care about politics. So I think people get caught up in the worldly vision of Israel, and God has a completely different look on it.
Right, because again, the point, see, your worldview matters, right? Our entire political agenda is based around that little nation in the Middle East. Think about all the problems and all the headaches that we have. And they're all because of stuff that's going on in the Middle East. Now, would we be concerned about the Middle East if Israel hadn't become a nation in 1948, fulfilling the Bible, prophecy in the Bible? It's been 70 years. This generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. This is coming up on the 70th year. People say 70 is the far end number of a generation. Most people say a generation's 40. If you think about this now, maybe somebody out there listening to me is a lot smarter than me. What's a generation? I'm thinking about just me now. Just me. How old was I before I began having children? That starts a new generation, right? Well, because of our millennials aren't getting married, that number is increasing and increasing. But I would say that most people my age, most baby boomers, we had children by 30, certainly by 30. So 30 years started a new generation. And you go back before that, you go back to our parents' generation. Some of them were having babies at 20. So a generation then was 20 years, right? Being a grandparent at 40. So what we're seeing happening is when they declared Jerusalem to be, or Israel to be a sovereign nation again, well, that prophetic time clock began. And first they said, it's going to be a 1948. Oh, it's going to happen by 1968, and then we got the late great planet Earth. No, it's going to be 1980. No, it's going to be 1984. And guys, here we are. We're 70 years later on that prophetic announcement about Israel. Now, I'm not criticizing Israel as to whether the land of Israel, it seems to me, pretty important place, and is going to be that's going to be ground zero. I agree with that. But to say that Israel, and we're at the end times because of that, I think is a stretch. Somebody bash me in the nose if you think I'm wrong.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Hey, I got a question for all those people on your Facebook that think Israel is true. If Israel is truly of God, the Israel over there in the Middle East, then why in every war do they have to drag us into it to help them fight and us to lose our young men, many of them that are Christians, that are being murdered? Why can't they do it on their own if God's truly with them?
See, it boggles my mind that they, if they're still God's chosen people, why don't they believe in Jesus?
Oh, and you know this, Chad, I don't know this to be true, although I'm pretty sure that it is. It's illegal to proselytize Christianity in Israel. Now, you're allowed to have, there are Christian churches in the nation of Israel. But for you to be proselytizing, trying to lead Jews to Christ, I believe, I could be wrong, that's a no-no. Not supposed to do that. And so we're trying to evangelize a people that we're not allowed to evangelize accordingly. Oh, I could get in deep theologically, and I don't want to get buried down in there theologically. Hey, Coach, but I think this is critical. I think this is really, really critical. I think, hang on, Jared, I heard you. This is really, the whole idea of what they call dispensationalism, right? The rapture doctrine, the regathering of the formation of Israel, the regathering of the Jews, all that stuff is so central and critical to everything that's going on in the world. And what I am asking, remember, the Bible says that if it were possible, the very elect themselves would be deceived for the things coming on the world. And so we have to be really, really careful that we dissect all of these things that we've been taught, like the Berean Christians did, to search the scriptures daily to see if these things they tell us are the truth. So when you go down to my Facebook page and you're reading some of those things, you're just going to be amazed. I sit back and I read it and I'm thinking, where did that person possibly get this theology? I'm not even questioning Israel. Where did that theology come with? Because that don't even make sense. Go ahead, Jared.
It's life and death, right? The seed of the serpent, seed, like you said. But you look at the data, which is part of the data set is the Bible. The other part is experiential. And it's about life. It's like what you said, the generations. We're having children later. Not only that, we're killing our children. So we're drinking Coca-Cola. Not only that, we're staring at screens all day, sitting in chairs, killing ourselves. Not only that, it's everything is, and then God's reality, everything is about life and death. And to shift your worldview, you've got to dispassionately look at the data and say which data points towards life. God is life. Jesus Christ is life. It is freedom. It's a lifestyle of life. Having children, the alternative is death. It's death in every sense, in every single sense of the word. It's death. It's death. Everything you consume, everything you look at, everything you, it's death. I don't know. That's it.
And if you're exactly right, Jared. And if it wasn't, then why is the, I don't even like to really call them elites, because they're not really elite, but why are they chasing anti-death technology?
Are they ever? Because remember, guys, the scriptures are very clear. Listen, God is no respecter of persons, okay? God's no respecter of persons. There ain't nobody higher up on the shelf with God than there ain't nobody higher than anybody else. If we've received Christ as our Savior, we're all God's children. Jared, remember I was flipping through my Bible? Well, I got a good flip. Go to Hebrews 8 while I'm speaking here. So the scriptures tell us that all those who love me hate death. All those who love me hate death. And if you have any eyes to see at all, there's one side of this spectrum that is for life, and there's another side of this spectrum that is for death. And to me, you shall know them by their fruit. That's one of the greatest identifying factors of all. We know this, that Israel is one of the most pro-abortion, pro-homosexual countries in the world. You do know that, don't you? You do know that. And the Bible says you will know them by their fruit. And so the fruit of Christ, why am I so excited about two more grandbabies? Why am I excited about that? How come I'm not thinking about how we can drink their blood or how we can rape them? How come I'm not thinking about that? How come I'm not sitting around saying, oh, yeah, a couple more babies to molest? Why? Because the spirit of life is in me. Spirit of life. So remember, let's go back here, boys. There's no demilitarized zone. You're either for him or you're against him. Huh? You're either for him or against him. And I hate to keep telling you this. An unsaved Jew is no different than an unsaved Muslim. An unsaved Jew is no different than an unsaved German. An unsaved Jew is no different than an unsaved black guy. There is no difference. In the eyes of God, there's no difference. Yet for some reason, we've got this set in our mind. See, frustrates me. So I'm in Hebrews. Remember, don't read things out of context. But I think there's, remember when you turn on the show, I was flipping. And this is where I ended up. Amazing, isn't it? So let's go to verse 5. No, let's go to verse 4, because that's where the sentence begins. And listen to this. Jared, let's start the beginning just because it makes more sense, okay? I don't even really know what this is going to say, although I know the Lord told me to go to this. It says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. In other words, here, I'm going to sum it all up for you, boys. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. Who are they talking about? Does anybody know who they're talking about or who that high priest might be? Hello? Yeah, Jesus is that high priest. So Paul, in the book of Hebrews, by the way, Hebrews, not Jews, Hebrews, says we have a high priest who sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. He says, the Lord built this new tabernacle. Man didn't do this. This ain't man-made religion, I think is what's being said here, although you have every right to say I'm wrong. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, or that is why it is necessary that this man have somewhat also to offer. Now, time out. Boys, who are high priests? In this new political system, who are the high priests? I'm going to wait. We are the high priests. We are. Not some guy in the synagogue. Not some guy in the Methodist, what do they call those things? Cemetery? He ain't the high priest. Not the guy that stands up in the pulpit on Sunday. He ain't the high priest. This may shock you. The guy standing in your pulpit, he don't have any more of a pipeline to the Lord than you do. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside you just like it dwells in him. He ain't higher in the Lord's hierarchy. Oh, he is higher in that he's taken that position, so there's more responsibility on him to speak the truth. But other than that, the Lord don't take his word over yours. I can promise you, this is what's telling us here. Because remember, the false religious system that the Pharisees and the Sadducees set up, which Jesus himself called the tradition of the elders, that religious system was a man-made religion. This is what the writer of Hebrews is trying to show us. Let's think about this now. Of the things which were spoken of, this is a sum. We have such a high priest who sat on the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. He said, there isn't anybody else. You don't have to go to some priest anymore. You don't have to go to some rabbi. It's a ministry of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord built. The Lord built this tent, not man. Say man-made religion, do this, don't do that. Can't we read the sign? No. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. He said, if Jesus was down here, he wouldn't be acting like those guys. It's man-made stuff. those men who offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. He said those guys who are doing these religious duties, they were just a type and a shadow of the real minister that's coming, the real blessing that's coming, the real sanctuary. This is just a form of it. This is what it looked like. Who served under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. He said to Moses, follow the pattern, dude. Follow the pattern. But now. Okay. If I understand English, but now means that stuff's in the past. But now. So that's the way it was. That's the way we used to do things, boys. But now hath he ordained, obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Come on! For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. So when he made a covenant with Moses and made a covenant with Abraham, it was a flawed covenant. Time out. This is critical. Anybody think I'm missing this? What I've read and explained here so far, does anybody think I'm missing it?
Not at all, Coach. This is amazing.
You don't have to agree with me.
No, okay, sir. You're not.
I mean, I'm not putting words into anything here, am I? I'm not putting words into anything. See, we don't really know who wrote Hebrews. We think Paul did, but we're not really sure. That's why they always say the Hebrew writer. But we know that this is written probably by Paul under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So let's say verse 7 now. Remember, I'm talking about the covenant with the Jews, with Israel. No, the Israelites. Not the Jews, the Israelites. Verse 7 again, I'm sorry. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then we wouldn't need a second one. Verse 8, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, somebody help me out here. Are these two different houses? I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Or is he saying, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel, which sometimes is called the house of Judah? Is that what he's saying? I don't think so. They're not the same. And he said, not according to the covenant that I made with their father. How much more plain can this be? He said, that old plan was appropriate for when we had it. But now there's a new sheriff in town, and that deal that I made with their fathers, it was good for the day, but it's not sufficient anymore. And so this is the covenant that I'm going to make with the house of Israel. Wow, hang on a minute. Verse 9. I'll stop preaching and try to read. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Fellas, out of bondage to a religious system. Because they continued not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, said the Lord. So listen, I made a deal with these guys and they broke it. They broke it. I didn't break it, the Lord said. And so then I regarded them not. Fellas, what can that possibly mean? What can that possibly mean? I made a covenant with their dads. I tried to lead them out of bondage, but they broke the covenant, so I didn't regard them anymore. Oh, shake your theology, Ormond.
And also, Dave, they didn't ever renew it. Once they broke it, they didn't go to
never
broken one.
All right. So listen, here's what I think happened. I'm still here. By the way, I haven't studied this. The Lord just gave me this. I haven't studied this at all. Seemed to me like he made a deal with them. They broke the deal. He said, that's all right, man. That's all right. I'm going to make a new deal. And my new deal that I'm going to make isn't going to be with a bunch of man-made religious folk. I'm going to make me a new deal with people who are after my heart. And I'm going to be their God, and they're going to be my people, and I'm going to live inside of them. And that other one was a good type and shadow, and it got us to this point, but there's a lot of flaws in that old one, and those guys couldn't keep that old one because nobody can keep the law. It's not by the law that you're justified. The law is a schoolmaster that drives us to Christ. So that old law was there, and it was good, and it served its purpose. But from now on, verse 10, for this is the covenant that I'm going to make with the house of Israel. There it is again. Not the Jews, not the tribe of Judah. Hey, George, we've got to ask him, who's the house of Israel? For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'm going to put my laws into their mind, and I'm going to write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful unto the unrighteous, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that he saith, a new covenant he hath made. A new covenant hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. I got goosebumps all over me. Somebody help me out here. What am I missing? What am I missing? Yeah, Larry.
I don't think you're missing anything, but I think the two things that I feel to point out is, number one, is all this stuff that you're going through now is after Hebrews says we're going to leave the elementary stuff, we're going to go on some meat. All this is meat. This is not for the Christians who haven't established a foundation in their life.
Amen. I agree with that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the next thing I would say is, you know, in your presentation, you talked about the covenant that was flawed and things like that. Now, it may be flawed to our sense of logic from experience, but God knew they were going to break that covenant before he even created the world.
Absolutely.
He also knew that he created mankind, or was going to create mankind with the same after his likeness. We wouldn't be able to comprehend his thoughts and his ways, but we would have the same penchant. We would have the same tendency to try to figure things out.
Mm-hmm. And Larry, we'd have that same tendency to try to go back to the old ways, to the old law, to the old tradition.
Yeah.
And he's warning us, don't do that. Don't do that. Guys, I've made a new deal with you. I made a new covenant with you. Then my people, God, I'm sorry if I'm going to hurt your feelings. I'm sorry if I'm going to hurt your feelings. He's saying, listen, those were my chosen people, but they're not anymore. My chosen people are all those who are going to come to me now. Who are going to come to me through the blood of Jesus. That's my new people. Them was my boys.
Yeah, the new Israel is his adopted family. His adopted
and he's made-
Now, but we have to remember that he adopted us because he wants to make the ones that he had treated as chosen people, he wants to make them jealous enough to do what it takes to come back into the family. But they have to come through Jesus to do that. But that's why he adopted us, is to make them jealous.
Right, right. So how does a Jew come to Christ? How does a Jew get saved?
Same way we do.
The same way we do. Why? Because he did away with that old way and he made a new way. Why? That all could come now. Everybody could come. And so now that we have come, all of us have come, we're spending all of our time trying to bring people into a family, to a family he did away with. Am I wrong?
Amen, Coach. It's written. It's right here.
It's written right in front of us, man.
Wow.
He said that they used to be my family, but that's not my family anymore. I'm striking a new deal here. Let's make the real new deal. Before Franklin Roosevelt even became on the scene, the Lord said, let's make a new deal. Let's make a deal. And here's what it is. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And ain't got nothing to do with birthright, ain't got nothing to do with any of that other stuff. Are you washed in the blood? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you are, you are engrafted in. You are the new Israel. That's the way. See, they call that replacement theology, I think. I think that's what they call it. Well, that ain't replacement. That's a new covenant.
Hey, Coach, go to Hebrews 6.13. Go to Hebrews 6.13.
It's good to hear you, Dale. You always sharpen me. Hebrews 6.13.
And then I want to answer that question on 70 years. This is a great rebuttal against people who want to use that generational thing. And I'll use the exact same scripture. But Hebrews 6.13, go ahead and read that real quick.
For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. Swear to himself. He made the covenant with him, right?
He did not make covenant with man. It's new covenant. The covenant was made with him, himself, and we are no longer, we're not the covenant. We just get to partake in the covenant through the blood of Jesus. And it doesn't matter. The covenant's not with Israel. It's not with any special people. The covenant he made with himself. The only thing we get to be now is the partakers of the covenant. Amen. Through the blood of Jesus.
Freely.
Now.
Freely, freely, right? Freely. Anybody.
Freely.
Whosoever.
Freely.
Guys, it didn't used to be whosoever. It used to be just if you were born into the right bloodline. Now that's done away with. He said that was here for a purpose and for a reason, but that's done away with. Here's the new deal. This is now the new deal. Whosoever.
Okay, you ready for this one?
Yep.
Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus said to them, he said, learn the parable from the fig tree. He said, and this generation will not pass before they see the second coming of man. Now watch this, brother. You ready? This is crazy. See, we want to take the text out of context, and we want to use this, and we say 70, because he said it will not pass. So they say that 70 years is the age of a generation. That, brother, go back and look and see when Titus invaded, surrounded Jerusalem, and destroyed it. It was in 70 A.D., brother, 70 A.D. He nailed it. He nailed your 70 years right there.
That's that generation, right? There was that generation.
That was
there
that. Was a sin. He said this generation. He didn't say that generation. He was speaking present tense when he said this generation shall not pass. And it was in 70 AD when Emperor Titus surrounded Jerusalem and burned that thing to the ground. And the women were eating their children inside, brother. That was the abomination of desecration in the temple.
So, folks, see, understand this. This is critical in theology.
Hey, Coach.
I'm not a theologian. Hang on just a second, George. If I said this pair of glasses shall not be broken, I'm not talking about this one. Mm-hmm. I would say this one will not be broken, that one will. So if you said this generation shall not pass away, he's talking about this generation, the one he's talking to. He's not talking about that generation in the future. He said, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Go, George. You're breaking up. Start again. George, start again. You broke up.
Okay.
Not hearing you, man. Save the thought. Not hearing you. Well, I feel like I've just beaten this. I just feel like I'm beating this to death, and people are getting bored with it. This is so critical.
I'm not bored with it.
This is far from being bored, Coach.
Okay, brother, I'm going to tell you something. As a pastor and gone to Bible college, what you shared last week showing of Israel and of the tribe of Judah, brother, that was enlightening to me.
It was a Jewish historian.
I just wet my palate. So, brother, this is the same thing, brother. Okay, all this is, man, God has opened your eyes to something, brother.
This is important. This is really, really important. Theology matters, guys. It matters. George, see if you can get in here, Nas. I see you busting trying to get in.
Okay. Hey, okay. No, to verify what Dale said, he was a Jewish historian that was at the destruction of the temple. He recorded it. And he was actually a Christian. He was a secular Jew. But you have to go back to the early fathers to understand that meant, like Dale very, very wise said, that has.
George, you're just breaking up, man. I can't hear you. George, you're just coming across choppy, okay? Coming across choppy. Hey, Dale, or Jared, pull up for me 10 myths. I sent it to you. It says 10 myths. Fellas, I've told you this before. I got this out of this book from Pastor Charles Jennings, Truth in History, not religion. See, none of that stuff. History, truth in history, not a theological magazine. Just truth and history, because if we don't know history, we don't know what's going on. And so I copied, it's in this book here, and I thought, you know what? It says here, 10 Christian myths about Jews and Judaism. This is from Charles Jennings. Now, I'm just going to lay it out there, and you chew on it whatever you want to. I don't care. You believe whatever you want to believe. Scroll down to the first one, Jared. 10 Christian myths about Jews and Judaism. It's in this book. It's a free book. One, can you make that a little larger, Jared? If not, I'll read it out of my book. Here's the myth. All Jews have an unbroken ancestral timeline to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The answer is Jewish scholars such as Shlomo Sant shatters the myth of the pure Jewish race. In a review of Professor Sanzi's book, The Invention of the Jewish People, David Goldberg of the Jewish Chronicle says, no one today, unless a simpleton, believes that all Jews are descended in an unabridged chain from Abraham to the present. We are a mongrel and widely scattered people. Just as I said the last week, all of us. What am I? You say, well, Coach, you're German. Oh, well, my name is. Other than that, I don't know. Okay, myth number two. Myth number, I'm going to get the book because I'm having a hard time seeing it there, Jared. Maybe it's my glasses here. Myth number two. The question. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were Jews. This is a myth. Here's the answer. In the Bible, Abraham and his family were referred to as Hebrews and not Jews. The Christian statement, F.F. Bosworth said, a glance at the genealogy will show that it is impossible for Abraham or Isaac or Jacob to have been Jews. According to biblical history, there were no Jews known as such until about 15 centuries after Abraham was born and until about 600 years after the death of Moses. Descendants do not give names to their ancestors. Okay. Myth number three. The modern day Jewish people represent all 12 tribes of Israel. That's the myth. The answer, if Jews were truly Israelites, they would only represent the tribe of Judah. Nothing can be more unscriptural than to call all Israelites Jews. It is as absurd as calling all Americans Californians. Most of Israelites are not Jews because they are descendants of the other tribes of Israel. There is just as much reason for calling an Israelite a Danite or a Gadite or an Ephraimite as there is for calling them Judahites or Jews. It's heavy stuff, guys. Get you thrown out of church, probably. Number four, myth. The tribes of Israel in Revelation 7, 4 through 8 are Jews who will be converted to Christ and become flaming evangelists for Jesus during the alleged future 7-year tribulation period. Well, the answer says from the context, these 144,000 Israelites, not just Jews, now remember, were saints that were preserved during the time of persecution by pagan and papal Rome due to God's seal upon them, as in Ezekiel 9, verses 1 through 6. Myth number five. Boy, people are nervous. I feel you getting nervous. Hey, truth in history. Truth in history. The Bible teaches that new Jewish temple will be built in Jerusalem with the reinstitution of animal sacrifices as a means of salvation for the Jews. Well, that's the myth. But it says under the new covenant, the Lord requires no temple in which to dwell. In fact, it quotes, "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, earth's my footstool. And what house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest?" Paul said, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, for you are the temple of the living God. Reinstitution of ceremonial animal sacrifices would be an affront to the efficacious sacrifice of Jesus and an insult to the Spirit of grace. What Jesus sacrificed was once for all, one sacrifice, one offering, and there is no more offering for sin. Hebrews 10:10-18. Myth number six. Judaism is the religious roots of Christianity because Jesus as a Jew was its founder. Remember, we use the term Judeo-Christianity all the time. How come we don't say Hebraic Christianity or Israeli Christianity? Why is it Jewish Christianity, Judeo-Christianity, tribe of Judah, right? Also, he says, this is not an uncommon impression, and one finds it sometimes among Jews as well as Christians, that Judaism is the religion of the Hebrew Bible. Well, it is, of course, a fallacious impression. Judaism is not the religion of the Bible. Fundamentally, Judaism is anti-Christian, the Jewish World Magazine said in 1923. Jesus Christ, go back to the top, Jared, the Son of God, of the seed of David, was no relation to the mixed blood Jews or ancient of ancient or modern times. It was the founder of Christianity and fulfillment of God's old covenant plan. Jesus denounced Judaism, Phariseeism as tradition and commandments of men. That's Matthew 15, which was based upon the Talmud and not Old Testament Hebrewism. Today, they follow the Babylonian Talmud. They do not follow the Torah. Sorry. Truth hurts. Truth sounds like hate. 7. Is a biblical injunction. Oh, this is a great one. Are Christians required to pray for the Jews in the city of Jerusalem? No New Testament writer, including Jesus, commanded or suggested that Christians pray for Jerusalem. But because the Jewish rejection of Jesus, he decreed destruction upon that city by saying, "Your house is left unto you desolate." The injunction to pray for the peace of Jerusalem is Psalm 122:6, which was for the returning captives from Babylon to rebuilding their city. It's an Old Testament term for something that was going on at that time. The Jews were returning to their homeland, and he said, pray for peace as they do it. Well, you see that everywhere, don't you? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You see, bumper sticker after bumper sticker, that one. I pray for peace everywhere. I'm making me some enemies this morning, and all I'm doing is reading.
Amen, Coach.
The most sacred book, number 8. Yeah, Todd.
Hey, one thing to keep in mind that, you know, when we say truth in history, we have to keep in mind that a human being wrote that, and human beings have paradigms. And the only truth is what's really in the Bible. And so I think we just need to be cautious with how we interpret another human's viewpoint of the world. So there are paradigms, and I detected paradigms in some of the writing in that thing. So we just have to be cautious about what's a paradigm and what's actual truth. And we just go back Amen. To the Bible.
Amen. 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 Myth number 8. Let me finish these up here. The most sacred book of Judaism is the Torah or the Old Testament books of Moses. That's what they tell us. Judeo-Christianity. Well, the answer is the Talmud is to this day the circulating heart's blood of the Jewish religion. It is a common law. That's from the Talmud, Heart's Blood of the Jewish Faith by Jewish author Hermann Wolk. 9. return of Jews to Palestine and the establishment of the 1948 Zionist Israel state is the main sign of the soon return of Christ and the rapture of his church. Remember, theology matters. That's the myth, or that would be a position. You can believe that. That would be a position someone would take. Well, the answer is God's promise to the Jews, other Jews, to return to the promised land was fulfilled when they returned from Babylon and rebuilt the city of Jerusalem and the temple. Nowhere does the Bible indicate that the new covenant has anything to do with the future restoration of the Jews to the land of Palestine. The 1948 establishment of Israel nation was the work of secular Zionist Jews for political purposes and not religious or biblical fulfillment. Political Zionism, the Ergen and Stein gangs terrorized both the British and the Arab Zionist Israel, has been in existence by United Nations resolution for 7 decades and still no rapture. In other words, Israel was created by the United Nations, nation of Israel. Well, now you could say, well, the Lord directed that. Okay, say that. Number 10. The reason why God has blessed America is because America has blessed the Jews. Boy, you hear that one, don't you? Well, if this is true, why do the Jews hate Jesus? Why do Jewish organizations fight to remove Christianity from America's national public life? Southern Poverty Law Center. What's the name of that other one?
Hey, Coach.
Norman Mailer ran that one. Wow, my brain's full of stuff. Okay, so there it is. There it is. I'm going to really shock you. I think I'm God's chosen people. I think I am. I believe I'm part of the body of Christ. And I don't believe an unsaved Muslim's part of the body of Christ. I don't believe an unsaved German's part of the body of Christ. I don't believe an unsaved Mexican's part of the body of Christ. And I don't believe an unsaved Jew's part of the body of Christ. Does anybody want to disagree with me on that?
You're absolutely right. Many are called. Right. You are chosen. You are chosen.
Amen.
We are chosen people.
So why the confusion? Why the confusion? Listen, if we want to protect Israel just because it's a democracy, it's the only democracy in the Middle East, I'm all for that. But for us to put the, protection and serving of Israel above the protection and serving of God's real people, Christians, I'm sorry. Something wrong there.
How hypocritical that sounds, Coach. Isn't this separation of church and state? We can't mix religion with a thought of protecting another country.
No, we can't be doing that, right? We can't be doing that.
Hey, Coach, you asked the reason why people believe that and think that. Let's ask the original question. Why? The reason why is the same reason that people accept Christianity to mean everybody that claims to be a Christian, when we know that's not true.
Larry, very, very good point. Very good point, because there are people who will claim to be Christians being God's people, and they're not. They're not. So I just saw in the chat, somebody said, what's the name of the guy that wrote that? That's from the magazine Truth and History. And it's truthandhistory.org. Pastor Charles Jenkins, truthandhistory.org. He's got most unbelievable stuff on there about our history, about the history of our faith, the history of the Jewish people. He explains who the 12 tribes were. He explains what that whole thing is about. Truth and History. Who are God's chosen people? All of this stuff is on his web. Listen, educate yourself. Just educate yourself. And you know what? There's not anything wrong with at one point waking up and realize that you've been believing something that isn't true. And no matter how much somebody tells you you're wrong, doesn't mean you're wrong. And no matter how many times people tell you they're right, doesn't make them right. There's only one truth. I want to know the truth. I'm not a, dare I say it, I don't know if you've picked up on this, I'm not a joiner, I'm not a follower.
Hey, Coach. Boy, you just hit a home run there. There's nothing wrong with waking up and realizing you were wrong. What there is something wrong with realizing you were wrong and not changing your opinion.
Amen.
Larry, that's, Yeah, that's right. That's the whole thing. I say that all the time. If I'm wrong, I'll be glad to know that I'm wrong. You know what Robert Sellers just texted me? Robert, that is profound. Think about this. Think about churches. Why are churches supporting Israel? Oh, I know why. They'll get blessed. So actually, they're protecting Israel for a selfish reason. We want to get blessed, so we're going to protect Israel. Robert, I had never put that together. Robert Sellers says most people think they're going to get brownie points for standing up for Israel.
Amen.
My. Good one. Yeah.
It's
branding theology, Coach. If you're not part of us, the abolitionist, if you're not this, and people say, oh, you're an abolitionist? And I said, no. Oh, you an OSA? And I'm like, no. They go, what are you? I said, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian.
You got to read my commentary today. I didn't get around to it. It's kind of lighthearted. Jared, you can put that up. We don't have time to go there now. But that's it, brother. That's it. See, most people want to be joiners, and they want to join things. That's why people get in the Masons. They join the Masons because it looks good, but they don't know what goes on up at 33rd degree. They don't know up at the 33rd level. It ain't what they thought down here. And people become Catholics, and they don't know what's going on in their parish. They don't know what's going on up here. And people become Republicans, and they like being Republicans, but they don't know what's going on up here. Anybody picking up what I'm laying down here?
Hey, Coach.
Yep. Hey, Jeff.
Quick story. After 12 years outside the strip club, you know how we always do? Men come in and out of place, and you know they're like, ask who we are, and we explain we're some Christians. Here's our pastor. We're out here sharing the gospel. One night, 7 or 8 guys went in, going in, and they were just blowing us off. And right before they walked in the door, they turned around and looked back at Pastor Bill and I and the guy standing there and said, it doesn't matter. We're Jews. And I looked at Pastor Bill. I said, what was the deal with that? And he just wrote, he said, that explains it. And they walked on in the strip club.
Amen. Hey, Jim Kraft, I see you're in there, Jim. What's your take on this, bud? Can you switch over and get your microphone on? He's probably out feeding some sheep someplace listening, not able to get on.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I disagree with number 10. The reason why God has blessed America is because America has blessed the Jews. I mean, well, God hasn't blessed America. The Jews have blessed America. All you got to do is follow the money. I mean.
See, now you're getting into anti-Semitism, Jared. See, that hatred's coming out of you, Jared. That's just,
They blessed America, so America give them more money.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Jim. What's your take, Jim?
Hey, everything. Everything you said is absolutely true, especially about that the Jewish people, that they follow the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud. I'll give you an example. I rent to a retired rabbi, great guy. I love him. We have great conversations, but he follows the Talmud. And that is the main book that they receive training from. They actually hold that and some other documents much, much higher than the Torah. And they don't want to talk about the Torah. They don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about what's in the Talmud and the other writings of what they call the prophets or whatever. So, you know, absolutely the truth. Right on.
Amen. Amen. Well, fellas, here's what I know. My Bible tells me this. You shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, shall set you free. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But I can tell you this, a lot of what they've told you simply is not the truth. We'll see you tomorrow.